say something else, aligned out the bridge, but I tell you, the Lord just keeps taking me back to this message. And it'll be found in Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, Isaiah chapter 6. We'll take the Bible and turn there. All right, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now, I want to bring a message this morning, if I may, just for a while. What we need when we're down. Amen. What we need when we're down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day of life that you've allowed us to live. Thank you, dear Lord, for being here this morning. God, I call it a great honor, dear Lord, to be able to stand and proclaim the word that you have given us this morning. I pray, Holy Father, that you'd anoint me, dear Lord, with the preaching of the Spirit. And I pray, God, that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost of God, that I might be able, dear Lord, to be able to preach in power and demonstration, Father, Holy Ghost, this morning. And God, we do pray, Lord, for these folks that are here. Bless each and every one of them. And I pray, dear God, that if there's one here don't know you, I pray, Father, this would be the morning, God, that they decide, Lord, to put you in their life and to live forevermore for thee. Now, Lord, bless us, we do pray. We thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus, once again, hide me behind the cross. Crucify this flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this morning, by way of introduction, if I may, in just a little while, I want to, you know, say it, verse 1. Mentions the death of King Uzziah. He was the 10th king from Judah. And he was a very godly man. And he was highly influenced by the prophet Zechariah. And unlike many of the other kings, he never totally departed from the worship of the true God. And under his influence, the southern kingdom attained a lot of power. And it attained a lot of wealth. And it had a lot of success, unlike it had ever enjoyed since the days of Solomon. Made heavy by his success as a king, and by his blessing from the Lord, Uzziah made the mistake of offering incense in the temple. And he was stricken with leprosy by the Lord for being disobedient to the Lord. And may I say this morning, I'll stop there just for a little while before we go on, that disobedience is a very serious thing.
Yes, sir.
And you need to understand that, child of God, here this morning.
Amen.
You are a child of God this morning. You need to understand that being disobedient, it'll get you in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
I remember when I was a boy, my mom always told me, she said, Son, don't do that, don't do that, and don't do that. You know, I always thought she was crazy. And I always thought she was stupid. And I always thought I was smarter than her.
Oh, yeah.
To come to find out, that if I'd have been obedient to my mom, I wouldn't have gotten in as much trouble as I did. That's why I'm saying to you this morning that disobedience is a very, very serious thing when it comes to service for the Lord. And old Uzziah died in that leprous condition. Disobedience. Well, evidently, Isaiah is very disturbed by his death, by the death of a great king. And after all, he had reigned for 52 years. And his death signaled the end of a great time, a time of prosperity, a time of enjoying the fruits. For Isaiah and the entire nation, it ushered in a time of uncertainty. And listen, if there's ever a time that we need to realize that we're living today in a time of uncertainty, it is today, my friend. I mean, we don't have any idea of what's going to go on. We don't know what's going to happen out there. I mean, you know, some say, well, if this one gets elected, we're in trouble. Another one says, well, if this one gets elected, we're in trouble. Listen, friend, we're in trouble regardless of who gets elected. I don't care who gets elected. This country is still in a lot of trouble. And I will say this morning that Isaiah was very disturbed by the death of his king. And listen, apparently Isaiah had his attention focused on old Uzziah. Had his attention focused on him. But now Uzziah is dead. He's no longer around. And his attention is redirected back to the Lord. Now, what must have been a downtime in old Isaiah's life became an uptime.
Yeah.
Became a time of a fresh encounter with God. Now what happens to Isaiah in this event spotlights for us this morning what we need when we're down. And I believe in a crowd this size, that I believe there's probably somebody in here that's having a downtime.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that there's somebody in here that there's an uncertainty in your life. And you really don't know what to do or where to turn. And I want to say this morning that if we'll do what Isaiah done, we will be able to have some prosperity in our life when it comes to serving God. Now, we've all had these times in our life, and those down times, they can do two things to you. They can either grow you or they can ruin you, which depends all upon of what has your attention. Now let's look at these familiar verses this morning and think for a while on the thought of what we need when we're down. Learning what to do when life turns down will help us get back in the short order, up in the short order of serving the living God. First of all, I want us to notice, there in verse 1, you'll notice, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now you'll notice what Isaiah said. When Isaiah got down, when he got out, he didn't run down to the local pub and grab the beer. He didn't run down to his buddies and say, well, let's all go fishing. He didn't run down here to the ball game and say, well, let's go to the ball game. He didn't run down here on this part of life and say, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this. I'm going to turn my job. I'm going to turn my wife. I'm going to turn my children. I'm going to turn this. No, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Now listen, friend, when you get down and out, there's only one thing that'll help you, and that's looking for the Lord. And when you look for God, you better find God. And I'm telling you, that'll make that downtime seem like a lot different time. It won't seem as bad in your life. Everything won't seem as horrible. And you see God sitting upon the throne. You'll notice that Isaiah saw God in his sovereignty. An earthly king may have died, but the Lord still reigns.
Yes.
I want to say this morning that somebody you know may have passed away, but God still reigns.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, friend, I've had my grandmother just last week. Last week, I had an aunt die. and she was a very dear aunt. We used to sing in church together, and we used to sing in outings and stuff together. She was a very dear woman to me, and she died. Well, you know, I could have used that and said, woe is me and this and that, but I know she's going on to be with the Lord, and someday I'll be able to see her again. Yeah. You say, what did you do? I saw the Lord. Yeah. I still see the Lord in regards to what happens in this world. God is still sitting on the throne. Yeah. I hear the world, this country, it just may completely collapse. There may not be nothing left of it, but in regards, God still sits on the throne. Yeah. And you may go home, and house be completely down in ashes, but God's still on the throne. Hey, there may be somebody that's going to die a real soon that you love in your life, but God is still on the throne. Now, that's what we need to say this morning. Then we need to see what Isaiah saw, and he saw God sitting on the throne. You need to realize that this morning, that God is still on the throne. Amen. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Hurricane getting ready to come through and wipe Louisiana probably off the map again, but irregardless, God's still on the throne. No matter what happens, God's still on the throne. I mean, your life may be in shambles. You may have lost your job. You may have lost your wife. You may have lost your husband. You may have lost your health. You may have lost your mom. You may have lost your dad. You may have even lost your son. You may have lost your daughter. You may have lost everything that's very possible to you that you can love, you can possibly think of. I mean, your dog might have died. Your cat might have died. I don't listen. In regards to what it is, it makes no difference. Hey, Isaiah, there was somebody that Isaiah loved. He loved Uzziah. He could go out to the dog and preach without having any problems. Hey, he was a man that he loved. But I'm telling you, when he died, he got down. He didn't get in the corner somewhere, stick his hand in the corner. Hey, he looked up, the Bible says, and he saw God. When we get down and out, when times, when life hands us a bad deal, when things are not going exactly our way, I tell you, hey, Jesus Christ is still reigning. He's still on the throne. Sure.
Yes, sir.
We need to see what he saw. What appears to be a tragedy to us may be the greatest thing that could ever happen in our lives. He saw his position. I want to say this morning that God has a great position in heaven, and he's not going to leave it. He's not going to give it up. He's always going to hold that position. He's always going to be God. He's always going to be the one that rules. He's always going to be the one that has the last word. He's always going to have that position, and Isaiah saw that position. Not only that, but he saw his personality. Bible says there in verse number 2, above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. I want you to notice that. And I want you also to notice there that he says, verse 3, he says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I tell you this morning that the angelic beings in the temple proclaim thrice the holy nature of God. I tell you, in heaven, even those sinless creatures were careful to honor the holiness and the purity of God. Notice they covered their face with their wings. They proclaimed the glory to Isaiah. I'm telling you, Isaiah finally understood that Uzziah might have been a good king, but there was somebody that was a lot better and a lot more holy than he was. And it was in glory. I'm telling you, friend, you may have some problems. You may have a dead time. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that's holy and righteous. And even the sinless creatures and the angelic beings, as we speak this morning, are holy, giving him praise and glory and honor. Thank God this morning, personality that God has is a holy nature personality. Notice they covered their faces. You notice that? When I picture that, when I picture heaven this morning, when I picture the throne of God, I picture brightness, I picture gold, and I picture brightness, and I picture purity, I picture quiet in my mind. That's what I picture. I picture a huge throne, and there sitting on the throne is the Holy One. I get his holy friend. He's a holy God, and on one side of him is an angelic being, and he's got his face down toward the ground. Oh, and his wings cover his face, and one wing's this way, and he's got other wings here, and these wings are covering his face. You say, what are they doing? They're pointing toward him. They want God. They want you to notice God. Let's get your eyes open with their hands and notice God. That's the one you need to get your eyes on. He saw his personality. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to see God for who that he really is. Well, I tell you, a lot of times in this life we fail to remember that God is a holy God and a righteous God. And I'm telling you, friend, in regards to what anybody wants to say, you know, they can make fun all they want to out there in Hollywood and down in Nashville and all the places they want to do that. But I'm telling you, God is still holy. He's my God, brother. And I'm telling you, he's a holy God. And there ain't nothing wrong with him. I'm telling you, he's perfect. He's pure. If God wanted to, he wouldn't even have to say the word. He could just sing it in his mind. And all things are dissolved. There'd never be another memory of it. That's how much grace that we have while we're rocking down here on these little feeble legs that we have. My God in heaven is the one that left you, friend, and to get up this morning on your own. My God in heaven is the one, my friend, that allows you to go to work and have a job that you so proudly have. My God in heaven is the one, my friend, that allows you to put food on your table. It allows them little children to grow up and to be healthy. That's my God in heaven. He's a holy and a righteous God. And Isaiah saw the personality of God when he got down. He didn't cry, Brother Don. He saw a God after his holiness and his personality. Thank God this morning. A personality that God has. Ain't he a wonderful God this morning? Then he saw his presence. You'll notice in verse number 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You ever been in one of them services where that the Holy Ghost gets to moving and it just seems like it's foggy in there? You ever been in one of them services? Yes, I have. I've been in them. Hey, you don't find them all the time, but they are out there, amen. Yes, I'll tell you, that's when God moves into a place. I'm telling you, God can move into a place where they just got sawdust down for the floor and they just got some old rough lumber benches. I'm telling you, if a sand's right and they're praising and they're worshiping God, I'm telling you, God will move in that place and it'll just seem to fog up, brother. Yes, I'm telling you, I've seen them. I've seen it happen. I've seen God come in the place and put his presence in the place. And that's what we need here this morning. Amen. We need the presence of God.
Amen.
You know what you need more than anything in this world? You need the presence of God in your life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You need that. You know what I need? You know what I need more than to get back to Kentucky today? I need the presence of God in my life. Amen. You know what you need more than you need supper this evening?
Yes.
You need the presence of God.
Yes.
You know what you need more than you need that job? The presence of God.
Yes.
You know what you need more than you need that woman or that man or that little boy or girl? You need the presence of God.
Amen.
I can't even say, oh, you don't preach, I'm not talking like that. Listen, friend, hey, I don't care what you got. You might have more money than the Rockefellers ever thought about having. Or you might be poor as the poorest man on earth today. But without the presence of God, I'm telling you, friend, you have nothing. I mean nothing without the presence of God. I remember years and years ago, before I ever got saved, I thought I had the world by the tail. I was playing honky-tonks, playing the piano, playing the guitar and honky-tonks. But I thought I had it, thought I had it made, my friend, but I didn't know what true presence and true peace was until I met Jesus. I met a friend, he moved into my life, and he put presence, and he put holiness, and he put righteousness, and he put goodness down in my heart. Let me live for him. I've done you, friend, without the presence of God, you ain't got nothing. He saw his presence. We're told that the house is filled with smoke. That was a symbol of the presence of God. But notice that God's train filled the chicken. That speaks of his robe. God was the central figure in the tent. God needs to be the central figure in any church.
Yes, sir.
When God is not the center or the central figure in the church, you don't have much of a church.
That's right.
Amen. I know y'all take care of the man of God, and I think you're wicked if you don't.
Amen.
Just to put it plain.
That's right.
Amen. I think the church don't take care of the man of God, just pure wicked.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I don't make no bones about it. Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen. Come on.
But I'm going to tell you something.
Come on.
He's not God. Neither am I.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We need to worship the Lord. When God is the center of the church, everything else will work out. You put God first, everything will work out. When God's number one in your family, everything else will work out.
Amen.
I tell my people that all the time.
Yes, sir.
I even told my sister the other day. I tell my family just like I'm telling you all. It don't make no difference to me. She was going to lay out of church to go down and visit her daughter on a Saturday. And she said, well, I'll be at church Sunday evening. I said, well, I said, why don't you just wait and go come back, drive back Saturday night? That way you won't have to miss church. Well, it's a long drive. I said, well, it all depends on how much you love God.
Amen.
That's what it depends on.
Amen.
Hey, I remember courting an old gal years ago that lived about 50, 60 miles from my house. She lived over in a neighboring county. Man, I'd drive back and forth. Why? Because I'm on the road, my little gal.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
hey, I drove 5 hours to come down here and get to be a fellowship with you all and get a preach. Hey, why? Because I love the Lord. I can understand people. I tell you, they'll drive 500 miles of sand.
Yes, sir.
You ever seen that? These sands, if we had the sand crooks up here this morning, I'll tell you what it'd be awful with. We had a big bus lined out there and had one on this side. Or we had the McCainies, or we had this, or we had that. And get in here, and they'd go from church to church. You know, oh, I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, you don't love the Lord Jesus. You love that money, honey. That's what you love. Why don't you just give everything to charity, amen? Sell that big bus and get you a vehicle like everybody else has got, and you all just sell it and give it to somebody. Give it to some missionary out there serving the Lord. You don't need that bus either, brother. I'm telling you, friend, that's the mentality of the worst church we have today. We're living in a day and age, and I'd say, no wonder over there, John said to the Lord, said, you all make me sick.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. That's the type of church we have today.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Amen. Now, I know a lot of folks that live here just kind of preaching. That's all right.
It's good preaching.
That's all right. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I don't get a lot of meetings, and you probably understand why by now. Amen. I've had them sit there. I've had some old ladies in the church. I've seen them shout the bobby pins out of their hair before. I could be a preacher. Then I've seen some old men sit back there with their arms crossed like this.
Sir,
I've seen that. Man. Man, like an old sitting bull.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You get your heart right, you won't get mad. That's right. I know I'm not, sister. I know I'm not. I've been in this thing 26 years. I know I'm not. I've seen everything.
Yes, sir.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Amen. There's still a few of us around that have preached the word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's still a few of us around.
Yep.
Amen.
Just a few.
Those few that do preach the word of God, they don't have them in the auditoriums, they football stadiums, make churches out of it.
Amen.
And they let me preach that crowd one time, I clear out about 5,000 of them, just like that.
Amen.
Amen. that's all. I'm just preaching. I'm not just preaching.
Yes, sir. Amen. Squirming, all the.
Well, we need to see what he saw. He saw the presence of God.
Yes.
Then we need to sense what he sensed. You say, what he sensed? Well, he sensed his own condition. How many of you in here this morning are realizing, I'm a sinner?
Amen.
You know what you want? That's the Holy Ghost of God working on your heart.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost of God trying to tell you, yeah, you are a sinner. You need Jesus in your life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, friend, the best choice you'll ever make in this life, in this world today, the best choice is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Forget about what the world says. Forget about what you read about in the magazine.
Yep.
Forget about what anybody else, what you hear on television. That's the best choice you'll ever make.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Listen, it's not all roses. You would have some bad times. But you know what? The good times outweigh them by so much as I can't even talk
about it.
Listen, you don't hear ladies get up and say and shout like this lady. Hey, that's real.
Yes, sir.
That's real. She got some.
Amen.
Amen.
Need to sense what he said. He sensed his own condition. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he instantly realized that there was a problem with his own heart. And that's what happens when you get close to the Lord.
Yeah.
You get close to God, you'll realize there's something wrong. I'm not exactly what all I thought I was.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly holy as I thought I was.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly as pretty as I thought I was. I'm not as ugly as I thought I was. I'm not as big as I'm not a little. Hey, I'm nothing. He's everything.
Yeah.
Sensed his own condition. You know when you can get, you know when you can tell somebody if you're here and somebody drives by your house, you know they stop, you're out there working on the side of the road and they stop and they say, hey, can you tell me how to get to from Martinsville? Now you know what you can do to that person? You can help them if you're from here. You can help if you're familiar with the area. You can help. But you know what? They're the ones that had to make the first move. Ain't no use jumping out there and saying, hey, looks like he's lost. Come here, man. That ain't going to do no good, is it? It ain't going to do that. That's right. They're going to say, well, man, you crazy. That fellow's crazy. Get out of here. But you know what? You let them stop and realize they're lost. You know what my problem's been for years, Brother Don? I'm trying to make people get saved.
Oh, yeah.
Saved. That ain't gonna work, is it?
No, sir.
Nope.
You know when they're gonna get saved? When they realize they're lost. When they realize they need Jesus. When they realize that we don't have long, and I'm gonna say 5 years the max, for this world we're living in today, I'm gonna say 5 years is a long time, brother.
Yes, sir. I'm not perfect.
You realize it's all coming to a point.
Yep.
You realize that for the first time in your life.
Right,
and say, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Come into my heart, save me. You know what he'll do?
Save me.
You say, we need to sense what he sensed. And then what else we need to do? We need to say what he said. What he said. What do Isaiah say? Well, you notice over there, he said in verse 8. Notice that he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. He's saying, I'm available. I'm available, God, to do whatever you want me to do. How many of us here this morning can say we've ever said that to the Lord? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do.
Amen.
As long as you don't, no, that don't work.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, I'd really like to do this, but. Well, I'd like to do this, but. That's like a missionary. Praying and asking, Lord, I'm going to be a missionary. Please send me to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'd like to be a missionary to Hawaii.
Yeah, me too.
For the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't get much missionary work done, but I'd like to be one.
Yes, sir. I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what? If you pray and ask God, God, let me do what you want. It might not be exactly what you want.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It may not. He may take some of you fellas, and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, well, I tell you what, I need somebody down at the jails right now. I don't have nobody down there who believes the book to preach. Won't you go down there and preach for me for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
You say, well, I have no preacher. You pastor, that's out there.
That's right.
You go down there and talk to somebody, can't you?
Amen.
What about the nursing homes?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I used to have a nursing home ministry, and I used to do some jail ministry.